You'll figure out before long, and all you gotta do is ask Frank and Don. I'm liable to say anything and not realize I've said it. And you're liable to also, Frank, answer me if I say something off the wall. And which is it's a good thing someone keep me straight. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, beginning with verse 43. Birthday boy, would you lead us in prayer? All right, Matthew chapter 5, and we'll look at verses 43 and 44. You have heard that it was said, love thy neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for them who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. Talking about loving your enemies. People can say sometimes that it's hard enough to love our family and our friends. Sometimes it's hard to do that. And just, you've got to picture the scene with Jesus. He's preaching to people who are very traditional about their Jewish faith. And they're very regimented, and they're very, everything has to be A, B, C, D, E, F, and on and on and on. And you can't deviate from that at all. So they have been taught all their life, love thy neighbor as thyself, and it's free to go ahead and hate your enemy. Jesus, I imagine, is they're sitting there, they're listening and say, all right, now, Jesus, you've gone just a little too far. I understand we are to love our neighbor, we are to love our family, but our enemies, I think you're taking this whole love thing just a little too far. Jesus, you're just asking us to do too much. You think about it, before any of us were believers, we too were enemies of God. You don't look at it that way, but we were on the opposite side of that coin. We were on the opposite side of what Jesus is preaching. And his audience, you've got to think about the little sermons and the things that Jesus is talking about. When Jesus is talking about the Good Samaritan, The lawyer stands up and he says, well, who is my neighbor? And so Jesus tells a parable about a good Samaritan, somebody that the Jews actually hated and despised. And so all this time, up until Jesus tells that parable, they thought that their neighbor was a Jew, and that was it. That nobody else could be their neighbor except for somebody who was of the Jewish background. Everybody else was an enemy. A Gentile was something that they didn't care about. They hated the Gentiles, and the only ones they cared about were the Jews. So when Jesus tells this story about the Good Samaritan being a neighbor, he changes everything and he turns everything upside down. Okay, I understand we need to love our neighbor, so we've identified our neighbor as anybody who is Jewish. And that's the reason why the priest and the Levite, when they went over and they looked at the guy, he didn't have any clothes or anything that could recognize him as a Jew. Therefore, he was not their neighbor because we couldn't, by the letter of the law, see whether he was a Jew or not. So they were not obligated to do anything, so they left him. Jesus always ups the ante in everything he does and everything he says. Jesus is saying that, who's your neighbor? Anybody in need. Who's your neighbor? Everybody around you. Who's your neighbor? To the ends of the earth. You think about how we, loving our neighbors, loving our enemies, we respond to mistreatment in so many different ways. I love this story I came across, and it talks about how we ordinarily would respond about being mistreated. A truck driver is sitting in a crowded roadside diner. It's not just any diner, it's his favorite diner. And on that particular day, they had his favorite food. His very favorite food. It was meatloaf and mashed potatoes and gravy and green beans. Oh, he was just so excited. He came in off the road. He's sitting down in his favorite diner, eating, getting ready to eat his favorite meal. And in walks a motorcycle guy. They come in and they sit down. And right next to where the truck driver was an empty seat. So some of them sat there. And then there was others that were standing. And they were kind of milling around the truck driver. And they looked at him and he said, move. One of the guys said, you need to move. We want that table. And the truck driver calmly said, he says, I haven't finished my meal yet. So one of the gang members took his finger and just wiped his fingers right through the mashed potatoes and gravy. Then one of the other guys took the coffee cup and poured the coffee into the rest of his meal. And he said, you're finished now, with a snarl. And so the truck driver, he stands up. He takes his napkin, he wipes his mouth. He walks to the cashier, he pays his bill, and silently just walks away. And so all the bikers were just laughing and saying, well, he wasn't much of a man, was he? And the waitress looked at him and said, well, he may not have been much of a man, but he's sure not much of a driver, because he ran over a whole bunch of motorcycles out there in the parking lot. Isn't that the way we would normally respond when we've been mistreated? And I think we all, when telling that story, you can just feel yourself get so aggravated that being treated that way. That's not the way Jesus would want us to respond. You know, that may be effective and that may be funny, but that's not exactly what Jesus has told us to do, is to run over somebody else's motorcycles. So how do you react to people that make life difficult for you? You don't even have to show me hand. I know everybody has somebody in their life that just makes it difficult. Whether it's at work, or whether it's in the family, or whether it's at home, or maybe even at church sometimes. But it can make life just difficult. And it's hard to live and tolerate sometimes. Jesus gives us some instructions. He tells us how we should deal with people like that. Number one, he says, don't resist an evil person. Number two, don't try to get even. Number three, turn the other cheek. Number four, don't respond like the world. That's not the way we normally think. That is not the way they thought. That's not the way we normally will think about things. We're get back people. You know, if we've been got, we're going to get back. If we've been hurt, we're going to hurt them. We don't turn the cheek, we hit their cheek. That's the way we respond. And none of that is what Jesus is saying. I like what Chuck Swindoll said in his book, Simple Faith. He says, in his opinion, Jesus' words recorded in Matthew chapter 5, verses 38 through 48, he said, are among the most unusual he had ever uttered. The strange sounding advice not only cuts cross grain against our human nature, it also presents just the opposite of the advice that most Americans are given. Nevertheless, his words are wise and his ways are right. If we will only give them a chance, we will discover how true, and yes, once again, how simple his advice really is. This is not the way we as good Americans respond. We push against evil. We try to get even. We don't turn the other cheek. We don't even let the person have the advantage. And oftentimes we respond like the world. So let's look at this and just see exactly what Jesus is truly trying to get us to understand. He says, responding to an evil person. You have heard that it was said, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. But I tell you, do not resist the evil person. If someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. I know we're raised in church and we think about that makes sense. But in reality, that is not the way we respond. If somebody hurts you, what is the first thing you want to do? You want to hurt them back. I mean, let's be honest. That's the way we think. That's not right. But that is the way we think. An eye for an eye mentality. We live in such a, it seems like we were talking about in Sunday school, where hate and all these things are just worse than they've ever been, it seems like, in history. But that eye for eye mentality, it was a common sense approach in the Old Testament. You think about just how it was. It was a very simple way. This happened. This is the response. Okay. It allowed for a very quick and justified retribution in Deuteronomy 19:21. It was done quick. It was thought to reduce crime and violence. You put somebody's eye out, they put your eye out, boom, it's over, it's done with. It was meant to establish justice quickly. So it wasn't dragged out in court. And if you cut somebody's arm off, they cut your arm off. You cut somebody's leg off, they cut your leg off. It was just, this happened, that's the response. That was the mentality that they had, and it was an immediate satisfaction. Jesus says, now listen, folks, you've misunderstood from the very beginning. That's not what it meant. So Jesus has to raise the bar just a little bit. He said, don't give in to evil. Don't return evil with evil. Be better than that. Be better than an eye for an eye. Be better than hand for a hand, or an ear for an ear, or a tooth for a tooth. Be better than that. Turn the other cheek. Go the extra mile. Give your cloak and your coat. You've got to stop and think for a moment. They have no idea, no concept of what Jesus is talking about. What do you mean turn the other cheek? What do you mean go the extra mile? You know, we'll talk about this just a little bit more as we continue to go on. There's enough people trying to get back at others, and there's enough people trying to hurt you that we don't have to go out looking for it. This is, you know, if we're honest about it, this is the way a lot of people think. They think, I'm not going to let him get away with that at all. I'm not letting him get away with that. And I hear people say, I'm not going to take that, or nobody's going to use that kind of language at me. That's pride talking, not Jesus. If you want to be like Jesus, we have no options. We have one option, and that's to listen. To be like Jesus is just to be the opposite of what the world expects us to be. It's an unreasonable demand from people. You think about going the extra mile. That actually is a Roman law that a Roman soldier, if he's carrying his pack and you're standing on the side of the road, by Roman law, if you were under the Roman government, that soldier can make you carry his pack or whatever he has. He can make you carry it for a mile and give himself a break. He can't go over a mile. A mile is as far as he can make you carry that pack. You think about that whole mentality with Jesus and his cross. They conscripted another carrier to carry that cross because that's something that the Romans did. They picked somebody else to carry the load when you couldn't carry that load anymore. And so you could go that mile, but they could not have you go an extra mile. Jesus says, not only go that mile, but carry it another mile in order to show that person what kind of person you are and that you are a Christian. And you can go that extra mile. Not just one, but go two. You may be forced to go one, but let's go a little further. When we go the extra mile beyond what is expected, you'd be amazed. You'd be absolutely amazed how this can heal relationships. It can calm harsh feelings. The mentality is, no, they've hurt my feelings. I'll never forgive them. No, they're, you know, I don't like them anymore. They did this or they said that. I'm done with them. That's not going the extra mile. That's being like the world and being what Jesus is talking against. Do what is not expected and see what happens. People don't expect you to go the extra mile. People don't expect you to turn the cheek. People don't expect you not to return evil for evil. Somebody hurts you, you don't have to hurt them back. Somebody curses you, you don't have to curse them back. Somebody talks about you behind your back, you don't have to do the same to them. And Jesus is talking about how we are treated in people in need. He says, give to one another who ask you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. It's not a normal response. During the time of Jesus, there were a lot of people that were begging, and that's all they could do. They didn't have subsidies. They didn't have any way to get food stamps. They didn't have any way to get any help. The Romans didn't have any kind of system that could help somebody who's begging find food and shelter. They didn't. They had the same kind of attitude as you remember on Scrooge's attitude, old Ebenezer. He said, let them die and be done with it. Reduce the surface population. That was their mentality. So if a beggar dies, who cares? If somebody in need dies, who cares? Jesus is turning all of this upside down on them. You know, I had read that if we have two pairs of shoes and two coats, we're richer than 97% of the world's population. I don't know how accurate that is, but I came across that. And that really surprised me. You know, even if it's 90% or even 70%, and not 97. I mean, it's just still, it's a ridiculous amount of people that are out there, and we're blessed. And our country is blessed. And so we need to spread those blessings to others and around the world and to our neighbors and to everybody in need. We don't. Our job is not to judge the need of somebody. Our job is to meet that need. Even an enemy, friend, whoever. You know, I think about, you know, we've got three dogs, and you all know that we're crazy about that doodle. But our three dogs eat better than a great deal of the world's population. Just think about that. We throw away more food that could feed a lot of villages, a lot of homes. We need to be good stewards about what God has given us. And we are blessed. Let's bless other people. He goes on and talks about persecution from your enemies. Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Now, Jesus, that's crazy. That's an enemy. They hate me. How can I pray for them? I don't care who you are, you have enemies. You have enemies. Through the years in the ministry, I have some people that I have loved so dearly and been so close to. And through the years, you pick up people that despise you in the ministry. You know, it's hard to imagine that. And you know, I've been at churches where we walked away and did what we could do, but you're still going to have people that are going to dislike you, and there's a reason for that. Jesus says they're going to hate you for my sake. No matter who we are, we're going to have enemies. And Jesus says, beware when all men speak well of you. If everybody speaks well of you, then that means you're doing something wrong, right? If everybody agrees with you, that means that you are wishy-washy and you're telling everybody what they want to hear instead of what they need to hear, because when you start telling people what they don't want to hear, they become what? They either change or they become angry. They did with Jesus. They got angry enough at Jesus that they put him to death, right? Because he was telling them things that they didn't want to hear, like being like your enemy. Love your enemy. No, thank you. I'm not going to love my enemy. I'm going to put up a fence so my enemy can't cross the road. I'm going to put up a wall so my enemy can't see who I am. I'm going to put up imaginary things and ignore my enemy. I'm not going to pray for them. I may pray that they have a quick demise. I may pray that they fall down and get hurt, but I'm not going to pray for them. That's all wrong, but that's the way we normally respond. Persecution from your enemies, that you're to love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. No matter who it is, you need to pray for them. Sometimes it is very, 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 very hard. And I know it is. They will hate you for my name's sake. They will hate you because of you. They just don't like you, and they just don't like who you stand for, and they don't like what you do. You think about enemies. They're everywhere. We need to pray for them. That is, sometimes it's a very hard thing to do. And Jesus is, and if you're going to be a follower of Jesus, I've always said this, being a Christian, following Jesus is messy. If you're going to follow Jesus, it's very, very messy. Because he's asking to do things that you ordinarily would never do. Forgive people who hurt you. You know, my usual response, if you hurt me, I'm going to hurt you back, or I'm going to hate you. That's not what Jesus said. Love, pray, forgive. Sometimes the people you deal with in life are just mean. I don't know about you all, I've run into people that are just mean. Some are just mean and hateful and nasty, and they're just very unlovely. But we still need to pray for them. We still need to show compassion. Our basic instinct, Jesus is going after. Don't retaliate, love. Don't get even, pray. Show compassion, kindness, and love. How do you overcome evil? If your enemy refuses to speak to you, smile and speak anyway. That's also a good way to irritate him, isn't it? But that's not what he's saying. If your enemy refuses to speak to you, speak to them anyway. Smile at them. Try to be kind. And I know you're probably saying, preacher, that's hard to do. Yes, it is. If an enemy cuts at you behind your back, you be positive in return. Don't do it to them or about them. If someone tries to hurt your reputation, just respond to them in kindness. If an enemy tries to undermine your business, to find some way to hurt you, find a way to help them. Hate is a very powerful and destructive thing. We as believers are not giving the order to hate. We're not giving the okie-dokie to dislike. We're not giving the, okay, you can hate on special reasons in specific ways. That's not what Jesus is saying. Love your neighbor, love your friends, love your family. Oh my, love your enemies. That's hard. That is a very hard saying that Jesus says. He says, choose not to be evil. It comes down to a choice. Never hate, choose love. Love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them. And pray for your persecutors. We as Christians need to show mercy, grace, kindness, forgiveness. The thing that it's hard for us to do is we can't do it on our own. We have to do it through the Holy Spirit. We have to do it through Jesus. We can't love our enemies on our own. We have to have the help of God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit, because we can't do it on our own. Because we are human, and as humans, we'll always resort back to our baser instincts of hate, attack, despise. But that's not what Jesus is telling us. I read the best way to destroy an enemy is to turn him or her into a friend. You think about that. Best way to beat an enemy is to make him into a friend. Love your neighbor. Love your neighbor as yourself. Doesn't just mean somebody who looks like you, acts like you, talks like you, thinks like you, is the same color skin, has the same language. He means everybody. Who's my neighbor? Jesus is asking, Jesus is saying, everybody. We do have enemies, but we need to respond to them out of love and kindness, compassion. I'm also a firm believer of this. If I pet a dog and it bites me on the hand, Miss Gayla, I'm not going to pet that dog anymore. I can still love that dog and stay away from that dog, but it doesn't mean I put my hand out for him to bite me again. Common sense has to kick in, Ronnie, doesn't it? You have to be very careful. But we are to love our enemies. That is your challenge, to love and try to, you know, hand out loving kindness to someone who is not giving you kindness in return. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much that we have an opportunity to show your love, your kindness, your mercy. Father, it's hard when we think about loving our enemies, not without your help, not without your intervention, not without your control. Father, so we call upon you, every one of us. We think about people who despise us and enemies that we have in our life who just want to hurt us. We want to pray for them. We want to lift them up and show us some way that we can give love to them, that we might be working towards a friend and maybe a brother or sister in Christ somewhere down the road. We thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.